This story about the presentation of Jesus at the temple is not that familiar of a story to us. But when Simeon spoke his departing words, he let us see again that the God of the Bible is a surprising God. Whenever you come into contact with the God of the Bible, you better be ready to be surprised. Because there's truth in this matter that the God's ways are not always our ways. God's thoughts are not always our thoughts. Across the centuries, God has proved to be a strange combination of faithfulness to his word and absolute unpredictability. And God has been that way from the beginning. God, who created all things good, when faced with the sinful behavior of human beings, promised them a way of salvation while he kicked them out of the Garden of Eden forever. It was a surprising mix of promise and punishment. The God who promised that Abraham would become the father of generations of families that would be as numerous as the stars of the sky was talking to a man 90-some years old and who had a wife, Sarah, who was 90-plus years old. It's no wonder that Sarah, who overheard the conversation, started laughing about it, about becoming pregnant, laughed at the thought, because it was a surprising mix of promise and impossible progeny. When you come in contact with the God of the Bible, be ready to be surprised. Most of the time, we either don't expect to be surprised or we don't want to be surprised. We think we know what we expect is going to happen. We know what's going to happen. Well, I remember a year way back when I was serving as pastor of St. John's in Salisbury that our youth group did such a fine job with a youth Sunday service that they created. And I got a call from a person who was not a member of the congregation saying to me, "I listened to your service on the radio and I want to tell you, you have such a great group of kids there. They led us in the most beautiful and impressive service of worship." But I remember meeting with Jessica, the president of the group that year, in the parking lot 3 weeks before Youth Sunday. We had to cancel our weekly Sunday youth meeting because so many were sick that year, probably just like this year where there's a lot of flu going on, and they couldn't be there. And Jessica was so discouraged. She said, "How can we ever get all this together in 2 or 2.5 weeks when we have such a brilliant theme, but no idea of how we are going to create the service?" It was a beautiful theme. It was love to the third degree, love cubed. In my heart, I agreed with her. I too was afraid, oh, this might not get done. But I said to her, "Jessica, it's like this every year. Don't worry about it. There's so much stress that comes before Youth Sunday because it comes so close after Christmas, before we have time to meet, but it always comes together." So the group had a good meeting the next week, and people shared their ideas and volunteered, one to take some of the sermon parts and others to take a skit that they were going to be involved in, and the service began to take part in terms of concept, but everybody had to still do what he or she said they would do. Things like the sermons, the skit, and they wanted to sing two songs. One was one called Jubilee by Michael Card. It was a new song. And then they wanted to sing the unfamiliar but old Luther League song, O Christians Leagued Together. Okay, well, next week I was on a retreat, gone to the mountains. So I didn't have any idea of how far things had progressed while I was gone. But I heard that some were still sick and some had to work. So that the first walkthrough of what they were going to do before Martin Luther King Day, they had to skip over many parts because many weren't there. So they agreed that they would all meet the next Saturday, the day before Youth Sunday. Okay, well, that Saturday night, I talked on the phone with Janice, one of our youth advisors, and this time I was the worried one. You know what she said to me? She said, Carl, it's like this every year, but it always comes together. So that service became a kind of case in point for me. I only saw that it looked like we were not ready, but God saw things differently because God was guiding the whole group through that experience. God was the one working with those who were writing sermons and skits and putting this thing together. So when you come in contact with the God of the Bible, be ready to be surprised. The challenge for us and for me is to learn how to let myself trust and obey a God who can always be counted on, but never exactly anticipated. Oh, how hard that is, and how slow it is for us to believe this and to make trust in God a real part of everyday life. Because our tendency is to set limits on reality according to what we think or perceive, to create a set of expectations based on what we have experienced in the past, and then to judge everything by that instead of making room for God to work in wonder and surprise. How audacious is it of us who only know in part and who see through a glass darkly to think that we know for sure and could speak so dogmatically about what can and cannot happen. The God of the Bible is the one who can make things that are out of things that are not. The God of the Bible is the one who can bring life out of death. And if this is so, how can we ever set limits on God or dare to reduce God down to our anxious and pathetic images of what is possible and what is impossible? But we do. We do it again and again. And that's why we embrace anxiousness about the future, and we decide ahead of time, oh, that nothing can be done about that. Trust is not there. Our expectations are too small. So today we have a scripture reading from St. Luke that introduces us to two people who waited patiently upon God in trust and obedience. Simeon, an old man to whom God promised that he would see the Lord's salvation before he died. And Anna, a widow who was there at the temple who served God. When the old man Simeon took Jesus, the babe, in his arms, he introduced him as one of God's surprises. First of all, he claimed, "This child is God's anointed one." Then he said, "He is the fulfillment of what God had promised people centuries ago, hundreds of years ago." And then, surprise or surprise, he said, "God intends through this baby to bring salvation to all people, Jews and Gentiles alike. And this salvation will come through the tragic fate of this child, a sword pierced through your heart." Simeon's announcement was of great surprise and a great inspiration to us who fret and live anxious lives because we think we already know all about it and forget that God is a God of surprise. So I ask you, as we move into this new year, what are your hopes for yourself and for your family and for those that you love in terms of their development and spiritual life and your place of work where you are and fulfill your vocation? Parents, what thoughts do you hold about your children? And members of the congregation, what are some of your thoughts and things that are of concern to you as this congregation moves into its future and is being called into mission and ministry in this place? It's a good time to think about that. There's a philosopher and a theologian, Martin Buber, who reminds us, as you think of those things, don't just think about the past. He said, "What has been is most emphatically not the full measure of what can be. Not when the God of the Bible has anything to do with it." The God of the Bible who formed that young Isaac in the womb of that old woman, Sarah. The God of the Bible who took the form of a human being and suffered and died on the cross to bring salvation and hope to every one of us and everyone out there in the world. God is a God of surprises. And thus, today, the call is to learn to trust and open yourself up to God's actions in your life. You can trust what God will do because He seeks our good. But what God does is not always what we expect. About the only thing that we can safely expect is that God will do most likely what we do not expect. Because what God will do will be bigger and better and something filled with more meaning and purpose and value for your life. So the worst sin against God is the sin of narrow expectations or close-mindedness. To be close-minded to God's intentions. So I hope today you will let yourself be encountered by the God of surprises. Create room in your heart for the wonder, for the unexpected. So on this New Year's Eve, let's not get entangled in what I talked to the children about, a bunch of New Year's Eve resolutions, and then feeling a failure when we can't perform them or fulfill them. They're probably all too small anyway. Do this instead. Just let yourself be open in faith and trust to the God of surprises. And I know, living in that faith and hope, you will have a good new year. Amen.